Welcome to the pilot episode of the Secret Chronic Society. This is your host, Josie, and this is a show where we talk about the daily struggles of dealing with an invisible illness. That can often lead to a decrease in mental health among side effects like chronic pain. And we'll be interviewing people that are suffering in silence. Illnesses ranging from fibromyalgia to mental health conditions like multiple personality disorder or PTSD. Here's what we have in store for our show today. So we'll begin by defining the role of empathy for those who have an invisible illness. We'll also cover the controversy over these health conditions and examine why this is such a big deal. Our show includes insights from interviewing individuals who have illnesses themselves and offers a little glimpse into their daily struggles as well as their triumphs with coping mechanisms during those tough times. All right, we will conclude with a bit of wisdom and advice from our interviewees for the other chronic sufferers out there so they can remember to stay strong and what they're going through really does matter and is valid. On our show today, we will have guest speaker Emma, who is interviewed by myself, Josie. Let's jump right into it. A day in the life of a silent sufferer. That's our first topic. So we've all heard that adage about walking in somebody else's shoes and why that's really important to understand what they're going through. But what does that mean exactly in terms of empathy and understanding? Well, to help us understand this important concept, draw on the wisdom of Dr. Brené Brown, who is an accomplished professor, author, and public speaker. In her RSA short video, she reveals that there are four main components of empathy, which include understanding the perspective of others and accepting it as their truth, staying out of judgment, recognizing emotion from other people and yourself, and then being able to communicate that with them. In essence, she defines empathy as feeling with people through connection, whereas sympathy disconnects people. It really feels like sympathy is more the pity route that people find easiest to take by default. Here to offer their insight into this topic is our first guest, Emma. Welcome to the show, Emma. Here's a little bit of background about her. She's an Oregon State University student studying animal sciences, and during her sophomore year, she had a difficult health journey where she discovered she was suffering from ulcerative colitis, otherwise known as IBD. So, Emma, what's the big deal with empathy?
Hi there. So, yeah, empathy, I honestly think, is one of the most important things with people with diagnosis because really in every aspect, empathy is very important to have for someone who has a diagnosis as well as that person with the diagnosis towards themselves. Empathy is the most important thing to have throughout everything.
Thank you for sharing your perspective on this topic. In her Social Work Today article, Jennifer Sisk reveals that millions of individuals with chronic illnesses bear an extra burden from their friends, family, coworkers, and even healthcare professionals who don't believe they're ill because of how they appear. Emma, if you feel comfortable, could you describe your diagnosis journey and your experience with medical professionals?
Yeah, so like she mentioned, I was diagnosed my sophomore year of college, and it was actually during the fall term that year. And I randomly started getting nauseous every day, and I didn't know why. There was no clear reason as to why. And so I went to the doctor, and they thought I had some kind of stomach flu, and it kind of went away for a minute there. So I was like, okay, yeah, that might have been what it was. And then it came back, and I went to the doctor again, but to a different one, and they thought, okay, maybe you ate something, and now you have, like, parasites in your stomach. And but none of the labs were coming back to match that, and so I ended up just going straight to a GI specialist up in Portland, and I told her everything that was going on with me. And so the Friday before finals week, I got a colonoscopy, and she immediately diagnosed me with severe ulcerative colitis. And so after 3 months of being extremely sick, losing like 30 pounds, not having any color in my skin and being extremely weak every day while trying to do school that whole fall term, I was finally diagnosed. And thankfully, I had a much faster diagnosis process than most people I know, which I'm very thankful for. But ever since then, it was then on the journey of finding the right medication, which took another year after that, trying pills and different types of injections. And so then after a year and a half, I finally found Humira, which ended up being the right medication for me. And I have since been taking that every 2 weeks. And now I am in remission after 2 years.
I couldn't imagine going through that right before finals week. You look incredible now, so it sounds like you've come a long way and have overcome so much. I'm really glad that you found the right medication. So thank you for sharing that, and it does bring us to another important topic. One thing we really want our listeners to take away is that there is a ton of controversy surrounding invisible illnesses because people don't always get the right diagnosis or their symptoms aren't consistent with the disease, and there are no outward visible symptoms for other people to see. So for example, multiple sclerosis is a condition that is caused by the immune system mistakenly attacking the brain and nerves. This disease most often afflicts women, and until recently, it was seen as something that was a diagnosis of last resort because doctors were unable to properly diagnose a better fitting disease. Symptoms of this can include fatigue, stiffness, loss of balance, pain, bladder, or bowel problems. Some medical professionals, even today, view the disease as something that's being entirely made up in the head. Emma, what do you think contributes to the controversy over how people view and accept invisible illnesses in society?
I think the biggest thing that contributes to the controversy throughout invisible illnesses in society is really just the lack of talking about it. That really plays a role in lack of education as well. They kind of go hand in hand. And that stems from the most illnesses that are invisible can be seen as embarrassing to the person with the diagnosis because, you know, it's invisible. So not everybody knows exactly what they're going through. And so they may not want to talk about it because maybe the illness itself is embarrassing. Or they might think, well, if I tell people, they might not believe me because it's invisible. You can't actually see it. And so there's a lack of talking about it from there, as well as just kind of the general public, the people that don't have those diagnoses, don't know much about it because they're not hearing about it. And so there's lack of education and a lot of controversy. And people think, oh, well, I can't see it, so you must not be sick. But if there was more education and more talking about it, then a lot more people would realize that they are, in fact, very real.
Yeah, for sure. I'm glad that you mentioned that. And it would also be a good time to bring up that not all invisible illnesses are treated equally. So if they haven't heard of it, they could think that you're making it up or that that's not a real thing. But some diseases like lupus, for instance, are more well known in the medical field. And so some are more accepted than others. And out of 125 million Americans who have a chronic condition, only about 7 million of them have visible indicators, such as using a cane, walker, or wheelchair. Emma, have you ever experienced discrimination related to your illness? And what's the biggest misunderstanding that someone like you faces from other people?
So I have experienced a bit of discrimination. Back when I was first getting sick my sophomore year, I had a job at a fast food place, and I didn't have very many shifts to begin with because I was a full-time student, and I just didn't want that many shifts at the time. So when I got really sick, I was very, very lethargic. I was barely able to ever even go to my classes. I could barely go grocery shopping. And when I did go grocery shopping, I had to lean up against the shopping cart to even be able to stand up just because I was so weak, and I wasn't holding any of the nutrients in my food. So I could barely not even go to work and work a fast food job like they expect me to. So I had to call out quite a bit, and I would always be very open with them as to why. And because of that, my manager at the time got very angry with me and was claiming that he was going to fire me. And I had to relay to him that that wasn't allowed, and I had all these protection stuff with me. But then once I did get diagnosed and I got put on prednisone to get my symptoms under control, I was feeling better, and I asked him to give me more hours again, and he just refused to. So I ended up getting a different job, but that was the biggest discrimination I had faced. And then other than that, honestly, for my illness, the biggest misunderstanding people have is that they think that with what I eat is what makes my symptoms happen. And that's really not the case. With IBD, it's my brain attacking the cells in my intestines. And so it doesn't matter what food I eat, healthy or not, I will have the same symptoms across the board. So I think a lot of people just like to say, well, just eat better. And that is so not the case.
Yeah, it sounds like they're downplaying your symptoms. And I'm really glad that you escaped that toxic environment with your boss. It sounds like he was certainly lacking some empathy. Also, you mentioned in another conversation that some people do try to relate, but they don't quite understand like what the difference is between IBS and IBD. Could you explain a little bit about that?
Yeah, so there's been times where I will talk about my illness, and I will say I usually go with that I have IBD because a lot of people don't know what ulcerative colitis is. And so then usually people that I talk to, they'll be like, oh, well, I have IBS. And I'm like, yes, they're similar in the symptoms wise, but they are different in the sense that IBS is a lot more of like what you eat. A lot of people with IBS just have an intolerance to dairy or other types of products, but for people with IBD, it doesn't matter what we eat. And so that's one of the bigger things as well, is people try to empathize by saying, oh, well, I have that too, and it's really not the same.
Yeah, I could see how that would be pretty frustrating. All right, well, coming up, we will talk about the importance of creating a welcoming space for all the chronics out there. One thing that we have found is that people often feel judgment, lack of connection or support because of what they're going through without any kind of outlet to voice those feelings and concerns. Emma, how do you think more of a sense of community could be built to support those suffering with an invisible illness, and how would you promote more awareness?
I think a sense of community would really be built with people just really talking about it more. I know it can be really difficult because, like I mentioned, it a lot of times is embarrassing because there's like that lack of education and a lot of people in society don't know much about it. But really the first step to creating a community is just being more open about all of our illnesses and talking about it so that it's easy to then find other people with those same diagnosis and then be able to create that bigger community with all of it. And so talking about it is definitely the first step. And then after that, kind of just being kind to everybody and very open-minded to how everybody deals with their illness.
I think you put that in a great way that's relatable to other people. Really breaking down those barriers to communication is what I'm hearing is important. All right, so what is one last morsel of wisdom you'd like to leave our listeners with today for someone who's going through something similar?
Honestly, the biggest thing I like to tell people with chronic illnesses is if you are, you know, going through a rough patch or even just in your first part of your diagnosis journey, just know it will always get better, even when you think it will never get better. I've been in that route where I've just thought, okay, well, I'm just this new person that is just always sick every day. And it is just, I'm just never going to go back to normal. And I would even view my friends and be jealous of them because they can just do whatever they want, eat whatever they want. But I promise it really does get better. And there is going to be good days ahead. And also be very kind to yourself along the journey. And don't be afraid to just take your time in your journey, because it may take longer than your peers, but that is totally okay.
I think that's really going to resonate with a lot of listeners out there. So thank you for sharing that once again. Well, that concludes our podcast content for today. And we do want to thank all of the listeners as well as our guests for participating in this episode of the Secret Chronic Society. We hope that you learn something new that will help you to avoid judging others and not making assumptions about the challenges somebody might be experiencing. Please subscribe to our podcast or write a review to support us. If you haven't already watched our TikTok channel, the Secret Chronic Society, head on over there to see some more educational content about dealing with chronic pain and living with an invisible illness. Until next time.